I would like to read from Luke chapter 24 as we continue reading concerning Christ's death. Now we read concerning his resurrection, Luke chapter 24, the first 12 verses. As we consider what we have just sung, that Christ is risen, the stone is vain. They tried to keep him in the grave. And he lives not as just a human being. Of course, he was never just a human being, but he stands as king because of his resurrection. So let us read together God's word from Luke chapter 24, the first 12 verses. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and a certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, the theme that we see here is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ blew the minds of those who were the closest to him, of the women who followed him, of the disciples. God's word does not conform to our ideas of what should happen. Death is death, we think. Dead people do not rise from the dead. And yet God demonstrates in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that which is very perfectly true. People do rise from the dead. When Jesus Christ returns, we will see that Jesus' resurrection is the down payment on our resurrection. We confess it weekly. We celebrate the resurrection at Easter and each and every Lord's Day. We say in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the resurrection of the dead." And yet functionally, so often, we act as though we don't. We act as if death is the end. We talked a few weeks ago about the fact of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration speaking to Elijah and Moses. What's going on there? Jesus says, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Jesus is not God of the dead. He is God of the living. The resurrection from the dead was beyond the minds of the disciples and of the women. It's beyond our experience. And yet it is one of the most attested events in human history. We have witnesses inside and outside of the Bible telling us of Jesus' resurrection. We have thousands of witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. And yet it is one of the most disbelieved things as well. Many people today say, well, Jesus can't be a savior because people don't rise from the dead. Well, I'm sorry. People do rise from the dead. We know that Lazarus, we know that a number of people throughout history have risen from the dead. So that categorical statement that says, no, this can't happen, is false. But Jesus' resurrection, of course, is different. It's not someone rising again to somehow then later on die. It is the first fruits of the final resurrection. Jesus did not rise and then at some point go back to the grave. Jesus rose from the dead and ever lives in glory, seated at the right hand of God. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits of our resurrection. That we will be made like Him. Christ's body, when He rose from the dead, if we continue reading there in chapter 24 of Luke, could go through walls, could appear in different places. It was recognizable. Thomas put his fingers in the holes in Jesus' hands and into His side where He was pierced. Death could not hold Jesus. Paul, writing to the Romans, says that it was impossible for death to hold Him, and that He rose by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand that for the disciples and for the women to disbelieve the resurrection, Jesus had said this numerous times throughout His ministry. What do? The women go to the grave to do what would have been considered embalming at that time. They seek to honor the body of Christ. They went on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. And they had these spices that they had prepared after Jesus was dead on Friday, the day of preparation. And as they go to the tomb, the stone is rolled away. We're told that on the way by the other Gospels, that it had been a discussion on the way to the tomb. They're going there to do this for Jesus, assuming that He's dead. This, as we sang, stone had been put there to try to keep Jesus there. It had been sealed by the authorities. Notice what's so interesting. What did the chief priests say? They remembered that Jesus had promised that He would rise the third day. The disciples didn't get that. But the chief priests did. And so they tried to keep Him in the grave. As the angels said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And so it was that the women, as they came to the tomb, marveled that the stone was rolled away. There was, of course, we're told elsewhere, a guard standing there to prevent the disciples from stealing away the body. Was that what the disciples were doing? No way. And yet as the women arrive, there is no body. There is no Jesus laying in the tomb in defeat. The prophets had already told us that His body would not see decay. And so the women come to the tomb. As they look in, they stand and marvel. They were greatly perplexed about this. They didn't understand it. And as I said, too often we as human beings live that way, that death is the end of the matter. We claim to believe in the resurrection. Our life after the resurrection is going to be far longer than 60, 70, 80, 100 years on this earth. And yet we live like this 60, 70, 80, 100 years is what's important historically about ourselves. As I said, people act as though dead people don't rise. The disciples, the women, had that in their minds so much that even when Jesus told about it, they didn't think and understand it. But people do rise. Jesus rose. This, as we've said, is one of the most attested events in human history. All of us will rise as well. If we're in Christ, if we believe in Christ, we will rise to eternal blessedness. Our sins, God says, will never be mentioned to us again. But on the other hand, if we are not in Christ, we will rise to eternal judgment. Every one of us knows that in the back of our minds, even if we don't want to think about it. We have not been good enough. I just love, by God's grace, that catechism question and answer fell this morning. And so we have the women at the tomb going to honor the Savior. But their honor of the Savior was quite misplaced. And that's how the angels respond, don't we? See. The angels remind the women of Jesus' promise. The angels give them a hard time. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do we seek the living among the dead? We as Christians need to have that in our minds as we consider life, as we consider death, in everything we do. Why do we worry so much about the things on this earth? Our life is not here. Our life is eternal in the heavens. We are called to live as citizens of heaven, not as those who have our best years here. Our best life is not on this earth. Believe you me, this is a glorious world. Don't get me wrong. But God says that which is coming, we won't even remember this world because of what God has given to us in heaven. It will not come to mind because it's going to be so dim in comparison. And so as they come, they're perplexed. The body was certainly here a couple of days ago. The stone is rolled away. And we have two angels stand beside them in shining garments. Not just white, but they actually lit up the place. And the angels ask that question, why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is not dead. There are those who have, you know, the pictures of Jesus on the cross. Well, first of all, we have to understand that in light of the second commandment, we don't make pictures of Jesus. But we have to realize that that's not the final picture. The final place of Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. The final place of Jesus is in glory. Yes, he paid the penalty for our sins. And that is awesome and that is wondrous. But that is not the place at which we end with our glory of our Savior. We may stop there along the way. But we need to spend our time in glory of the Savior on high, as we sung again. That he is active. He was once in the cross. He was once in the grave. Now he is in the skies, in glory, in resurrection, seated at the right hand of God in power. And Paul, writing, tells us that he uses that power for us as his people, for our good as God's church. Christ is risen as he promised. He had promised, we're told here in Galilee. This is going back into Jesus' ministry. This isn't saying, you know, last week he finally said this. No, the witness to Christ's resurrection, as Jesus says, goes back very early in his ministry. Luke 9:22, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day. Yes, later in his ministry, he repeated this. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. And they will scourge him and kill him. But that's not where it ends. And the third day, he will rise again. Jesus' resurrection had been told them, and yet they had forgotten. How many things have we read in God's Word and forgotten? I'd say more than I remember, quite honestly. Is that the end of the world, that we forget things when we read them? No way. God's truth is so great, so amazing, that even when we've read it 1,000 times, there is more depth there to read and to understand, to gain. This was not that they were not trying to understand Jesus, but when our world and our understanding of the world gets in the way, sometimes it's very hard for us to get the picture. And it takes again and again reading that word. And that's why I rejoice that there are those who are reading through the Bible with us this year, and that they're planning again next year. And you can join any time reading through the Word of God. Because the beauty of what God has for us is so amazing. And it's so deep. And human beings again and again tell us, no, God has to conform to my understanding. No! My puny brain? Okay, mine's not the biggest, but even the big people's brains. You gotta conform to some human being? Give me a break! And yet there's Christian quote-unquote philosophies that say, oh, God has to do things according to human logic. Tell me that was human logic when Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and made food for 5,000 people. Human logic doesn't get there. Yes, God has a logical religion, but it is not a religion that we get our puny minds around. And so when we look at Christ and we see him raised from the dead, and when we look at God's Word and we see all the glorious things God tells us about them, yes, we seek to have a religion that understands. But at the other end, the secret things belong to God. Those things beyond our understanding, we need to treat with faith. But even those things which we understand, we have to treat with faith. And so, as the women are reminded of Jesus' words, oh yeah, that's right. It's one of the reasons we have pastors, to remind us of Jesus' words, of God's words. But guess what? The women go back to tell the disciples, and they hit another roadblock. Oh, wait, can't remember that, can't believe that. Jesus rose from the dead? Now, as I preach and as I consider preaching this passage, I said, this is dull for any Christian. Easter's basic. And yet we live in a world that doesn't treat it as basic. And we need to go back to these basic things, because otherwise the world will confuse us and twist us through philosophy and vain teachings of basic principles of this world and say, you can't believe that stuff. Well, yes, we can believe that stuff because it's true. And so the disciples, the women go back. We have their names and other women. There were quite a few, apparently, from what we read in verse 10, that came back with this news. And what? The disciples said, just vain babblings, tales. And as I said, there's many people who don't believe today. I had someone that taught at seminary later on declared, oh, I can't believe in the resurrection. Come on. Look at history. People do rise. Yes, it is an awesome thing. It's beyond our imagination. But it's true. And so the disciples had that same reaction that the women did. I don't believe it. Things so earth-shaking that our little minds can't get around them. Jesus rose from the dead, the victor over death, over hell. And we will rise as He did. The disciples ran. Peter, we're told elsewhere that John did too. And Peter outran him to the tomb to see. Now we can't run to an empty tomb here on this earth to see. But we can look at the evidence. And as I said, we have one of the most testified events in the history of the world. Jesus rose from the dead. More than 5,000 people saw Him at one time. Oh, that's a hallucination. No, people don't have group hallucinations like that if you study any sort of psychology. It doesn't work that way. Jesus rose from the dead. And there's all the theology that comes in on that. As we read in 1 Corinthians 15, as we consider the resurrection of the Savior, that Adam died, so in Adam all men die. And in Christ, all shall be made alive. And there is the first fruits, Christ the first fruits, and after that, all people for the day of judgment. And brothers and sisters, we look forward to that day of judgment. I know when I first started studying the idea of the day of judgment, I said, that's scary. But if we're Christians, it's not. We can look forward to that day. In fact, we as Christians must look forward to that day. We don't have anything to fear. Read Romans 8, those last verses. He who is the judge is our Savior, who loved us enough to give His life for us. So Christ, having risen from the dead, having sealed our eternal life, is our judge at the last day. And brothers and sisters, Christ is risen, just as He promised. And even if our minds don't get around it, that's okay. We have to understand how awesome that fact is. There is much that attends to Christ's resurrection. Those are lessons for other Lord's days. But as we consider this morning, as we celebrate Easter, we celebrate that Christ rose. And we need to get that basic fact in our minds as a part of our lives and our universe. Because we too will rise. That fact is demonstrated in our Savior, raised like the glorious body of Christ, raised for for eternal life freely given to us. Jesus' resurrection changes the world. It's a promise of our resurrection. It's a promise of our eternal salvation. Amen. Let us then bow ourselves before Almighty God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice on this Easter that You have saved sinners, that You have bought us and paid for us body and soul in life and in death, so that we do not need to fear the grave. Our Savior rested in the grave according to His human body, and He rose, the victor over death and over the grave. And we pray, O Lord, that You would help us to live based on that fact. So often we live as though this life is all there is. And yet Jesus demonstrated that that is not true. And so, O Lord, we thank You that You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That You are the God of the living, not the dead. And our Savior lives on in heaven. Those who have gone before live on in heaven. And we look forward to that day in which we shall join them. And yet at that same time, we look forward to the day of the resurrection of the dead, of the day of judgment. For our confidence is in Christ. Our confidence is in His perfect resurrection and the eternal life which He purchased for us with His life, with His death, with His resurrection. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.